excited about this morning. This one of those messages I'm going to be bouncing around on. So just I want you to go ahead and have a Bible. If you have a Bible, go ahead and get your Bible out and just get ready with it. And if you don't have a Bible, I'm just going to go ahead and just ask that our ushers are going to come, and they've got Bibles. They are loaded down. They are ready to like hand out Bibles, you know, shooting them off like a machine gun here. So just throw your hands up in the air. All right. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, and you need to borrow one, throw your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care. All right. We got that. Anybody? Don't be afraid. There we go. Don't be afraid. This is a good day to not have a Bible because we're going to go hip hop hooray on this. All right. All right. If you don't own a Bible, I want you to know something. You can keep that one. We'd love to give you that one as a gift. I know we've got some more over there, Kenneth. Y'all are doing good. If you don't own a Bible, we want to give you that one. Just take it and use it. Just take it and use it. And we love crying babies. Crying babies are awesome. So don't be afraid. Don't feel bad about the crying baby, all right? We're big boys and girls. I want to share with you, last Sunday morning, a couple of the guys on staff and their wives and Ben from Basilea all went to a conference this past week in Austin, Texas. After the first service last week, I actually asked during the announcements of the first service last week of, you know, if anybody had a vehicle that we could all ride in together, because we were going to be driving there on Tuesday and then driving back on Friday. And one of the ladies came up that goes to our church, came up and said, well, wouldn't you guys rather fly? And I said, well, yeah, but we're all out of pocket on this trip altogether. So we just really don't have the money to do that. And she said, I work for an airline, and I'd like to just give all of you guys tickets, and you guys just fly and fly back, and they'd be for free. And man, that was just like such a God thing that happened. And we had you know, that I think that was just the start of the week of just kind of seeing God beginning to move for what He was going to do in our hearts this past week. And this past week, God moved. God moved in our hearts. I know that He's challenged us in major ways. We heard some incredible folks share. We heard folks all the way from the other side of the world that are trying to do ministry, and they're ministering to people that have never heard the gospel. By the way, there are people here that have never heard the gospel, but there are lots of people elsewhere that have never heard the gospel. And so, you know, that all kind of fueled a fire that ended toward a couple of messages that we heard on the last night that we were there. One of the guys that taught, two guys taught, Matt Carter and David Platt. And Matt Carter taught a message that, just to be quite honest with you, some of what I'm sharing with you this morning is from it. I'm not good at preaching somebody else's messages. I've never done that. I've done it once. I tried it once for like a month. Did somebody else's deal. But it just never pans out good. It's just not my thing. It's not my heart. It's not my passion. It's whatever, you know. And so, you know, God has been stirring in me over some of the things that He shared, and I'm going to be sharing some of those things with you this morning, and I hope that that's okay. In this message this morning, I want to kind of talk to you about something that was very important to Jesus. If we say Jesus is our Savior, then we gotta want to know, like, what's the most important things that He wants us to know. We have things like the Great Commandment, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, all these things, very important. That's a whole other thing that God's worked on my heart about this week. And then furthermore, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's where, if you didn't know, that's where we get love God, love people, and then live gospel comes through the Great Commission and so many other places in Scripture that we would live out those things. Jesus had some things that were very near and dear to His heart. One of the things that I really enjoyed this week hanging out with our guys, and I love this about going on trips like this, is you know, late at night we'd go out and hang out, and I love doing that kind of thing and just going and finding, you know, some dive somewhere. And of course, we were right in the city of Austin, and some great little spots. And I don't know if you stay long enough at one of these places, you know, they have what's called the last call. You know what I'm saying? And we were at one of these places at least long enough for them to do last call on food, and really what they did was they the only food that this place really did was hot dogs and French fries. And so we partook of hot dogs and French fries at like 2 o'clock in the morning just because like, yeah, we should do that. We should do that right now. That just seems like the right thing to do. Probably not. But it seemed like it at the time. And so we did that. You know, I think for us, something that's important and I think it's worth noting is that there's something that happens with Jesus. You know, if you don't know about Jesus, let me tell you this much. He's God's son, and he was sent as God and man, fully both, to live a perfect life because he himself was the only perfect sacrifice that could be made on our behalf for our sin. So Jesus had to be the one to die for our sin. And what that means is basically is that he took our punishment. He took the death that our sin deserves. Because sin deserves death and God is a just God. There's a whole lot to go into all that and be glad to talk with anybody about any of that. But at the basic of it, Jesus died that we might know him and that we might be saved. That we might be rescued from ourselves and we might be rescued from our sin. This is the truth of the gospel. Now, one of the interesting things that happens, though, is that we didn't just get to kill Jesus and then he just stayed dead. Like, Jesus was murdered, slaughtered, literally, on a cross. And then, 3 days later, fulfilled all kinds of scripture that had been penned hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever walked the earth. Jesus came back to life. Jesus came back to life, and it was one of the most amazing things that's ever happened in history, probably maybe the most amazing thing to collectively with the cross that has ever happened in history. Jesus comes back for just a short period of time, and then the Bible says in all these passages that he ascends back to heaven. I can't help but have like some kind of like Superman imagination thing going on where he's just like, see you guys, like cool Superman, you know, and there he goes, up into heaven. And the guys are like, whoa, you know? But this is what happens. But in that short period of time of while he's here, he teaches. And he appears, he purposefully appears in front of different groups of people. And while doing so, he's teaching. And he's teaching a very similar message. And that message is kind of what I would like to call today his last call. Jesus' last call. And we find it in Scripture. And I want us to turn there. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to bounce around a little bit. We're going to go Acts 1, then Mark 16, then Matthew 28, if you want to put your fingers in them. Acts 1, Mark 16, Matthew 28. This passage in Acts 1 is very challenging, as the others will be as well. We as a church are actually about to start a series on the book of Acts. We were supposed to start it today. You could, if you want to, pretend that this is part of that series. I don't really care. But basically, this I really felt like had to be a preliminary thing that had to be done before we start that series. After spending this week and God speaking to my heart and convicting me about some things. Acts 1 verse 8 says this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're going to leave that up there. This is one of those passages. This is one of those little snippets of time that we have where Jesus has been killed, he has come back, and he is now teaching, and he's sharing with the apostles, sharing with people, and he's saying, this is what your life is to be about. Now, I don't know about you, but if he has just literally saved me, if he has saved me just by believing in him and what he's done, and then he turns around and he says this to me. Let's read it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I think we have to listen. I think we have to listen to it. I think we have to hear what he's saying I think we have to pray over it and ask God, God, what are you saying to me about this? I think too many of us are really good at saying, well, God calls other people to do things. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus as your Savior, God has called you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're called, okay? You're already called. And so then in lies this thing that so many people get hung up on. They're like, well, I don't know what I'm called to. That's okay. That's okay. I think we find our calling in small things, in the passions that God has given us, in the things where he begins to work in our heart. But really, what none of that happens until we spend time with him. I mean, we've got to be in a relationship, not just talking about how he saved us and, you know, just, you know, going through the motions and going to church and all that. I'm talking about like seeking God, letting him speak to our hearts through his word, through prayer, through being in community with other believers who are going to push us toward Jesus. A passage like this begins to change when we begin to understand that. When we begin to understand and we begin to think about, okay, if it's so important that Jesus has a theme, and there's a definite theme, and you're going to see it here in just a second because we're starting to see it now, but there's a definite theme of between this time of when Jesus comes back and he goes back to be with the Father, shoots straight up into heaven, big wow moment, what's he talking about? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's the third part of the Trinity. This is God living in us. We know Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives in us. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We will be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, of what he's done in our lives, what we've seen him do elsewhere, that we might share that. Where? To the end of the earth. Well, now, see, this is where it goes to like just getting all like, I'm a little uncomfortable with this, Chris. You know, I kind of got myself all figured out here. 401k, nice little house. Got our thing going on. I got my collections. Huh? Here's the truth. Some of us are going to be led to give up those things and go to the ends of the earth. The question this morning becomes this: are we willing to even make ourselves available for that? Not is God calling us to something crazy right now. Let me just tell you something. God will call you to something crazy if you let him, okay? I've yet to see anybody that really just like puts it all on the table and just says, here you go, God. Here you go. You got full reign. You do your thing in my life. We'll let you lead me. We'll do whatever you want to do. God not end up just doing something crazy through people like that. Mark 16:15. Says this. This is yet again another example of Jesus in this short period of time, very short period of time between him coming back to life and him going to be back with the Father. And he says this in Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Let me look at those words. I want to look at it a second. See that? Go into all the world, and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. The whole creation. I'm not making myself clear. Let me help you with this just a little bit, okay? The amount of passages of scripture that exist of Jesus after he comes back to life are like this. I mean, they're very few. Go look at it for yourself. In fact, I want to kind of explain something to you because maybe you don't know, and if you do know, don't act like you're better than everybody else because you went to Bible school, okay? The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are called the Gospels of Jesus. And the reason is they're the good news of Jesus, but they're the good news of what God is going to do through his son and was doing through his son at that time. Each one of those is an account of Jesus's life written by a different dude, okay? So if I've got, you know, several of my friends, you know, if I've got Penny and I got Locks and I got Joey and they all write, you know, Blaney, whoever, and they all write a letter about my life, everything that they saw in my life, it's kind of the same premise. Now, they're different points of view, so you get some different, you know, different things in each one because, you know, different ones spend different times, you know, with Jesus and all of that kind of thing. And so you've got this amazing thing that happens here with this whole, you know, the Gospels deal. And so you've got Mark, and he has just penned what we know as the Great Commission. But it's not the Great Commission that we're used to reading. We're used to reading Matthew 28. Because in Mark 16, it's what we just read. And he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now in Matthew 28, flip to that. Matthew 28, verse 18, we have this. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Same kind of moment in time, two different perspectives. Maybe one dude like had his notebook right there ready to go with his, you know, whatever feather pen, and you know, he's rocking it out. And then the other guy's like, man, I got to remember all this stuff. So when I get home, I jot this stuff down. But we have the same thing going on here. Moments of Jesus's life after he comes back to life, his theme is the same thing over and over and over again. Go look at the book of John. In the book of John, I'm not saying right now, but you know, later on, go look at the book of John. You'll see this back and forth between Jesus and Peter. And I don't know if you remember or not, but Jesus told Peter before Jesus was sent to the cross. He said, Peter, you're going to deny that you know me three times. Peter's like, oh no, Jesus, I would never do that. I'm your best friend. I love you, Jesus. And then what's Peter do? He denies Jesus three times. Jesus goes to the cross. Jesus dies. Jesus comes back to life. Peter comes on the scene. Here's Jesus and Peter. And I'm sure to be Peter, he's like, oh my gosh, I feel like such an idiot to even see Jesus right now. Like, it's all true. He really is the Son of God. He really did come back to life. It's starting to make sense now, all these things that he was saying. I denied him three times. I'm an idiot. Uh-huh. And what? Jesus asks him this question. Do you love me? I'm sure Peter's like, yeah, I deserve that. And Peter's like, yes, I love you. You know, and Jesus like, okay, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And Peter's, I'm sure, like, yeah, I deserve that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I love you. All right, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, Jesus, I told you. I know, I denied you three times. I get it now. You're asking me three times. Okay, I'm stupid. Yes, I'm a sinner. I love you. Then take care of my lambs. Feed them. Go look at that passage for yourself. Here's the deal. Jesus was not interested in making sure that some livestock were getting the proper grain that they needed. It had nothing to do with actual sheep. Jesus is trying to help him to understand that the calling on his life before he ascends and goes back to be with the Father. Peter's like one of the only guys that we see like that has like this one-on-one conversation with Jesus at this point in time. He's the one that gets the conversation. The guy who denied him three times. And Jesus uses what Peter did to deny him three times for his glory by asking him three times, do you love me? and repeating over and over again, feed my sheep. What he's saying here is the same thing that he is saying in these other passages of scripture. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. You see the theme? The theme is that we would go and that we would take the gospel. That's challenging. That's challenging. I got to tell you, this week I heard some of the most amazing things I've ever heard in my life about what God is doing in some people's lives that have given up everything and just said, you know what? I don't know anything about how to do this, but I'm going to give up all the stuff of this world, and I'm just going to follow Jesus, and me and my family, we're going to move, and we're going to go minister to people that have never heard about Jesus in countries where if you get caught talking about Jesus, they'll kill you. And we're going to start house churches in our little apartment, and we're going to aim to try to get more house churches going in our apartment complex over time. We're going to just try to lead as many people as we can to Jesus and an understanding of knowing him. And you know why they want to do that? It's because those people are dying and they're going to hell. And they're missing out what life is about. And for us as the church, we have scripture that shows us just as clear as day. And if you want to write it down and look at it later, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 is one of those passages where we are called to, as evangelists, as teachers, as ministers, as prophets, as apostles, as shepherds, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So that the saints will go and build the kingdom of God. The church, we've got to be about that. We've got to be about equipping people to go. Now, this is very backwards from what a lot of churches want to do because, and as we as humans, what do we want to do? We just want to keep building. We just want to keep making a big old thing, right? We love having a big old thing. We love, oh, yeah, it's like a big thing. God's doing it, and it's awesome. It's good. I'm going to be a part of the big thing. And God can work that way. But the truth is that he wants to work through us being equipped and being sent. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we try to get our fix on other things. And there's good things like short-term mission trips. They can be good things. They can also be bad things. They can also be things that we begin to worship because we begin to go on things like that because those become things that it's like that is the thing that we worship and it makes us feel good about ourselves to get to go and do that. I'm not saying that's the way it is always. Of course it's not. But if we're not careful, we trade something like that for something that God is trying to do in our lives where he is saying, pick up, sell your stuff, go teach the gospel to people that have never heard about Jesus. Go show them what it's like to love like Jesus. I know you're thinking, Chris, that's not me. I'd never be called to do that. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm asking. Are you putting your cards on the table in front of God and saying, God, here's my stuff? And if you want to do something like that with me, if you want to do something like that with my family, we're available. We're available. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to live that out right here. I'm going to get to know my neighbors. I'm going to talk to them about my relationship with the Lord. We're going to have them over for dinner. We're going to have them over for dinner every week for a million years, if that's what it takes, for us to get to talk about Jesus with them, just get to love on them, just get to try to show them how he's changed us, changed our family. We're going to open up our home. We're going to share our possessions. We're going to get our hands dirty in people's lives. We're going to be the people in neighborhoods that when something goes down with one of our neighbors, we're the first person that they think of to call because they know that we love Jesus more than anything. And they know that we will love them through a situation like that. That's a calling. And that's one that we've all got. I hear you. I know that you're like, man, I've got my junk together. We have got life figured out. I don't need nothing rocking the boat right now, Chris. All right? I feel that way too. Sometimes we need to have the boat rocked just a little bit, don't we? I want to talk to you for a second about how you're praying. I want to talk to you for a second about what you believe God can do through you. I don't want to use a passage of scripture to do it because I think that's appropriate. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, if you want to turn there. And this is one of those passages that I would recommend. You underline it, you circle it, you make a copy of it, you put it on your mirror, you paint it on the side of your car, whatever you want to do to keep you in line with this passage of scripture, because this is one of those things that I think that so many of us, we completely stray away from. And it says this in Ephesians 3, verse 20. After I talked about it like that, a whole lot more pages started turning. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Remember what we were just singing a few minutes ago? Remember that song? The love of God is greater than we dare to what? Hope or dream. If it didn't come from this verse, I'm not sure where it came from. Because this verse is saying that. In fact, this verse is going a step further. And it's saying, I'm going to read it again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You hearing that? You seeing that? You recognize like how big this statement is. He is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. I'm convicted about this. I'm convicted that we as Christians just go to church. We're trying to be good people. We're trying to do the right thing. But at the end of the day, we're missing huge pieces of our relationship with God because we're not praying big enough prayers. Because let me ask you something. If you'd think that we can come up, if we could dream up just something amazing for God's kingdom, not for us, doesn't bring glory to us, it's talking about something that is for him, something that's all about Jesus. Something that's about making him famous. If we could dream up the biggest stinking possible thing in the world and we could come up with it and we could pray for it, and then he tells us that no matter how big a thing that we could come up with, that he's sitting here and he's saying that he is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. That's huge. That's huge, and we need to pray for big things for his kingdom. We need to ask that we would be a part of it. But you know what that means? That means we can't just be comfortable all the time. It means we got to put all our cards out on the table. And we got to say, Jesus, I'm here. I'm available. And if you want to use me and if you want to use my family, we're ready to go. Does that mean he's going to send you halfway around the world? It might not. But it might. Are you ready for that? Are you okay with that? Or do you love this so much that you can't possibly think of doing anything different than what you got going on right now? I mean, this ought to just shake us to our bones and make us realize that our lives are not our lives. They are for him. That we exist. We were created for his glory. He is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. it's almost kind of like this na-na-na-boo-boo. You can't dream up something big enough. When God gives you a passion in your heart to do something, to follow him, and you just give into that, and you're willing to put it all away, you're willing to put it all on the table, and you just say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. I believe in you. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. It is one of the most overcoming things that you will ever experience in your life. And you know what? Some people will think that you are absolutely crazy. I had some people that thought I was absolutely crazy for wanting to start a church in Pleasant View, Tennessee. The funny thing is this. I didn't even care. And it's not because I don't care about what people think. I do care about what people think. I'm a human being. Anybody that says they don't, they're a liar. It was because it's probably the most overcoming time in my life where I look back on what God was leading us to do, and there was absolutely no question in my heart that that's what he wanted to do, even though it didn't make sense to a whole lot of people. I'm not so sure that one day God might not call me to do something again outside of being a pastor of 24 Church to go and be a part of doing the work of his ministry in some other way. He may do that again. I love it here. I love the people here. I've had opportunities to leave here, and I have turned them down. And it is because God hasn't been ready for us to go. The question today for us is not us trying to figure out the rest of our life so much, sometimes as it is just, are we putting our cards on the table and saying, God, I'll go if you want me to go, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it. I'm in. And this morning, that's the biggest question that we can ask as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers. Will our kids, will our friends, will they see God work through us? Will they see us be willing to just let God have it and just let him do whatever he wants to do? Will God get that kind of glory in our lives? Or will they see us as people that like to hold on to what is safe? Crazy thing to think about, isn't it? Again, I know you're probably thinking, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. To that I say, the gospel tells us that we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. And for us to put a blockade up between us and God and what we're willing to do, we're completely missing whole huge pieces of a relationship, of a freedom in Christ, of what God might want to do, something so big, something so amazing that we can't even dare to hope and dream it up because it's his and it's not ours. He can do more through us than we ever think that he could. He can use us more than we ever think that he could. As one of the guys said this past week, there is no ceiling to what he can do through us. Matt Carter shared this statistic this past week. It was timely that he waited to share it until after we had heard so many people share from around the world, literally, of the type of ministry that they're trying to do to teach people about Jesus and lead people to him. And he shared the statistic, and this is it. 6.4 billion people around the world do not know Christ. 6.4 billion people. You know what Matthew 24:14 says? I'm gonna throw it on the screen. Matthew 24:14. It says this. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations." And what? Check this out. "And then the end will come." Once the gospel has made it to all nations, now I'm not exactly sure what God means by all nations, but I'm going to go with people groups or whatever here, which there's about 6,500 of. Once the gospel makes it to all nations, then the end will come. Somebody shows up on the scene and they say, "Hey, I'm predicting the world's going to end in 2013 on income tax day." Guess what? They don't know jack squat, okay? I think it's like the dumbest thing ever when people that claim to be Christians like come up with these dates of like the world's coming to an end. There is no, scripture tells us we will never know. That it will come like a thief in the night. On top of that, this has got to happen. But when this happens, when the gospel has been taken to all nations, then the end will come. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to see Jesus? I mean, like, are you excited about seeing Jesus? Are you excited about the fact that, like, we won't have sinuses? Are you excited about the fact that we won't have to work? Are you excited about the fact that we will literally get to enjoy who God is for eternity? Because when the gospel has been taken to all nations, that's when it's going down. I struggle, and I know you do too, with even thinking about that, because we're so into this. Let me just encourage you in that. Just encourage you to seek the Lord. Let him convict your heart about that. He has to convict my heart about that all the time. Like, we are supposed to enjoy this life. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us having fun. Nothing wrong with you know, that happening. God uses those things. But the truth is that what is to come is so much better, so much more than we'll ever dream. This morning, the last call that Jesus wants us to get, and it is thematic through everything he does, from the time that he comes back from being killed to the time that he goes to be with the Father, is that we would be willing, I want you to hear that word, willing to go. The question today is not probably, am I supposed to go? The question today is, are you willing to go? Most of us could probably answer that, quite frankly, and go, I'm probably not. I'm not even willing to go right now to my neighbors. And to that I say, then start there. God placed you where you are to be a missionary for the gospel right where you are. Don't throw it away. He wants to do things bigger than we've ever known. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've been to church before. Maybe you've never been to church before. Maybe you've thought you knew Christ. Maybe you're not sure. I don't know. I want you to know something. All you have to do is believe in Christ. He does the rest. He's done the work. He did the work on the cross, and he's going to do the work in your heart through the Holy Spirit. If God's speaking to you this morning and saying, run to me, know me, have a relationship with me, let me save you, let me rescue you from your sin, from yourself, don't ignore it. Let today be the day that you look back on and remember as the day of when God saved you. For those of us that do know Christ, may we be challenged that Christ's last call would be something that we don't ignore, and chalk up to being for other people, but it would be the calling on our lives. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. God, it is so great for us. God, we need it so desperately. This morning, Lord, I just pray that we would take it to heart. God, I pray that we wouldn't ignore it. God, I pray that we wouldn't say, wow, what a great message. I'm sure that probably impacted somebody. God, if we're breathing here today, it should impact us. God, it's impacting me right now, and you know it. God, I pray that we would be your people ready to go anytime, any place, anywhere. Lord, give us the chance to prove it. If we put our cards on the table, God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be so sold out to this world and to our things that, God, that we wouldn't be willing to do anything that you might ask us to do, no matter how crazy it might seem to everyone else. Lord, for the person here that doesn't know you, for the people here that don't know you, God, just show them in their hearts today how desperately they need you to save them from their sin, from themselves. Lord, we love you. We thank you.